So we're just going to jump right into the Word of God tonight and just share some things I feel, you know, impressed by the Spirit of God to do and allow God to be God. You know, I'm really been chomping at the bit to get back to what we started on Sunday morning, 3 weeks ago, before I had to preach on Palm Sunday and on Easter Sunday, and hallelujah. But, you know, just some things, but I want to tie some things together with that and what I believe God wants us to do. Just to encourage ourselves and strengthen ourselves, but also thank God for the Word of God. Amen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we honor you, we love you, we praise you. We do. We thank you for your holy written word. And Father, we look to your word to bring life to us, because your words are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. So Lord, we trust the Holy Spirit to bring forth that which he wants to bring forth tonight and minister to our hearts, so that truth can begin to prevail. And Lord, we honor you for that and thank you for it, Father. Father, we just open up our hearts and our minds to receive all that you have for us. Lord, thank you. We want you to be glorified, you to be praised. And Lord, just thank you for these wonderful, wonderful folks that are here. Lord, thank you. Just thank you for bringing them. And Lord, thank you for all those that have tuned in to watch. We just thank you for them too. Lord, we just give you honor, we give you glory. And it's in Jesus' wonderful name that we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Come on in, everybody. Praise the Lord. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 19. And I tell you, I'm excited about the things of God, and I've just been excited about the Word of God. And so, you know, on Sundays, what we're doing and teaching, we haven't, you know, we had Easter and we had Palm Sunday, so we did things on the resurrection and on the crucifixion. But I started a series on Sunday before that just about the having faith in the Word of God, having faith in his Word, or word faith, just realizing that, guess what? God's Word is powerful. It really is. But then understanding what it is to have faith in the Word of God, and also that we actually have faith. You know, the very first thing is that actually you got to acknowledge that you actually believe the Word of God. You believe the Bible over all things. And if we would realize that God's Word is so powerful, it would change our lives. You know, many times we're always looking at different areas or different things, way people do things. How many know that every church has a purpose and a plan that God has for everyone to do? It's and usually in that purpose or plan, it's kind of how the pastor is wired or how he's made up. Amen? You know, there's what vision God's given you and what God's calling that he's given you. My calling is to teach people faith. That's my number one calling, is to do that, is to get faith into the body of Christ. Number two is to endeavor to get them to believe the Word of God and the Spirit of God, the power of God, because that's what it is. The gospel is the power of God. And endeavoring to teach that. So obviously I'm going to give you a lot more different things than I'm not going to say, hey, trying to get you to say you need to fix this or fix that. I'm going to tell you, here's what the Word of God says. Let's grab it. Amen? Because I know it works. I know that it works because it's worked in my life. So that's whatever works with me is what I want to give to everybody else. How many of you know that if it works at home, you can ship it abroad? You know, when you know things that the Word of God, how valuable it is, then you put preeminence on that. And so that's what I do. I put preeminence on that. I really want to emphasize that, because there was this whole big thing that was happening that everybody was questioning the Bible. I don't know if you remember that. But there's still a lot of folks questioning the Bible. I mean, people are like, well, they've got their Bible, you've got your Bible. Which Bible's right? Well, it's the Bible that has truth in it. Amen. It's the God that answers by fire. It's the God that heals. It's the God that delivers. It's the God that provides when you believe the Word of God, when you apply it to your life. So you got to make sure that the word that you hear doesn't just stay as a hearing word. It's got to be a doing and a believing word. Amen. And that's the thing about it. We read that all through the Bible. When they heard things, they acted. They did things. You remember in Acts chapter 2, when they heard, when Peter got up and he began to preach and share, and then everybody said, well, what must me do to be saved? And they said, you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And they are all that. And so we have so many people that got born again because they had to act. They had to do. There was something they had to do. So what I want to start tonight in some things, I don't know if I'm going to just keep it along this line, but I am going to do a lot more teaching on Wednesday nights, just in the fact of getting the Word of God in you, getting you to believe this part of the Bible. And whatever topic that we talk about, you got to find scriptures on it to believe it or to know that this is God's will in it. This is God's way in it. And it's amazing to me how many want to look at the scriptures and go, well, I don't believe it that way. You ever heard that? It's like, well, you know what? The key is what does it say? Because your opinion and my opinion don't count. Amen? And the funny thing is, our opinion of the Word of God is not going to produce results.
That's right.
And what we think about the Word of God is going to definitely either produce results or not produce results in our lives based upon if what we think about it is true or not. Do you understand that? I mean, what makes the devil so powerful in other countries, or what makes the devil so powerful in our country, is because people believe in it. Amen? They believe in it. You know, they believe that if a witch or a warlock or somebody comes and puts a curse on you, we're going to put a curse. Oh, the witch doctor is going to do this. In other countries, man, that's powerful. And people believe it, so it happens in their lives. It's like, wow, see, I told you we'd do that. Well, that's the key thing about it, is that beliefs are so strong. They really are. And I've seen people, I've seen the enemy do great, crazy things in people's lives because they actually operated out of fear because of what the enemy was saying. Amen? But when you don't believe it, there's no effect.
Amen.
When you don't believe in their power, you're not afraid. Amen?
Amen.
You know? And that's the thing about it. But let's take it on the opposite side here. If you don't believe in God's power and you don't believe in God's word, it doesn't affect you either. Now, you'll end up enemy. The enemy will just, he'll use you and abuse you and throw you away after he's already destroyed your life. But the key is, if you want God's will or God's plan or God's word to be made manifest in your life, not only do you have to read it and hear it and look upon it, but you got to actually believe it and act upon it. Amen? So here and Greg's going to ask me what my title is. He does that the day after everything. So I don't know what my title is, but we'll figure it out here. But in Acts chapter 19 and verse 20, it says this: so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Amen? So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Well, what was it? If you go back up, you'll see that there were certain of the vagabond Jews. Go up to verse 13. There were certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists. You know, they'd been, hey, these guys, they've cast out devils. They're exorcists. That's what they do. They took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Isn't that amazing? And there were seven sons of Sceva there, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. These guys, hey, they're the ones that everybody calls when people are crazy, okay, or have difficult things. And the evil spirit answered, and he said, guess what? Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? How many of you know that God knows you? How many of you know that the devil knows you because you're born again? See, it's not enough for us to know about the Word of God or to know of it. It's for us to know it and to put it into practice. What do I mean by practice? In your everyday life, that you believe that the minute that something's coming, you're going to say, no, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get an agreement on it. We're going to take the Word of God and we're going to apply the Bible to what does God say about this situation? Okay, we see this happening. You know, things are going on. Okay, first thing we need to do is take authority over the enemy. Tell him to take his hands off our stuff. Take his hands off our kids, our bodies, whatever is going on here. Hallelujah. And then we begin to proclaim what the Word of God says. All right, Lord. Hallelujah. Is there, you know, and you check yourself. Amen? Because the Word of God is our ammunition. The Word of God is the most powerful thing that you have in your life. God created the whole world with his Word. Amen? God said, and it was so. Isn't it wonderful that if you say it should be so?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to go from here. I want you to go, well, you know, and the wonderful thing about that is they all do this thing. And then this whole saying, you know, because the evil spirit leaps on them, beats them all up, sends them out naked. This whole thing goes all through Ephesus. And then all of a sudden people started coming, the many believed, and they started, you know, getting rid of all of their, you know, books and all of the junk that had been doing for all of the other false gods and everything, and you know, and then it comes down to verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I like that. So probably this whole thing is the prevailing word. I think that's what we'll title this. Greg, did you hear that? Prevailing word. We got this, okay? So, all right. And so I want you to go with me over to Acts chapter 20. In my Bible, it's just one page. Acts chapter 20. And, you know, Paul's at Ephesus, so he's here for a year and 6 months, the Bible says. He's here and he's teaching, he's sharing and ministering. And then, of course, then he says, here, now I came. Then he basically stays for, you know, there 3 years total. He says, I've been here over the space of 3 years, you know, and I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. Verse 31. You know, he said, listen, therefore watch and remember that by the grace of the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What an amazing thing that he's been teaching night and day. And then he makes this statement in verse 32, which I love. And I'm going to read it to you out of the Message Bible and the New Living, but I'm going to read it to you out of the King James first. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you, because he's getting ready to leave. God's told him he's going to go there. He's going to get ready to go to Jerusalem. There's things that got to take place. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Amen. The Message Bible says this. It says, now I'm turning you over to God, our marvelous God, whose gracious word can make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends. The New Living says, and now I entrust you to God and the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself. One of the things about it is that if we would begin to understand that it's going to build up, first of all, we build ourselves up on the word of God, but also understand the inheritance God's given us. Amen. So what I want to start, I want to share with you, and I don't know that I'm going to get done tonight. If not, you know, like I always say, I'm coming back next week, so we're all good. All right? So, but what I want to do is I want to give you some things that I've just looked up. What does the Word of God do? And if we'll allow it to do it first, then it can change our lives. Amen? And the first thing that the Word of God does, and the first thing that it did is it convicted you that you were a sinner and you needed a Savior. Amen? That was the first thing that took place. Hey, wait a minute. I'm convicted of sin. I need to say, that's Acts 2:37. Peter's preaching. He's preaching about Jesus. All of a sudden, what do they say? They don't say, I need you to, you know, they weren't like the Greeks and say, well, we'll hear you more about this. No, they said, hey, the Bible says they were pricked in heart and said, what must we do to be saved? All of a sudden, they're saying, wait, their words convicted me of sin. And the Word of God should convict you of sin. Now, once the Word of God does that and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? The Holy Spirit never, ever convicts you of sin again. Because you're born again, your spirit convicts you of sin all the time. Because the Bible says in John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit only does one conviction, and that is to convict the world of sin. And he does it through the Word of God. Because God said through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, through the foolishness of preaching, God has said that's how men are going to get saved. Amen? So the power of words. So the number one thing is that, and then you say, well, I'm old, the whole man, God's condemning me. God, no. God's not condemning. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because God's not going to. But now your spirit will convict you big time. It'll say, what you just said was wrong. And you better repent. Or what you just did was stupid, and you better repent. Amen. And here's the thing. So I said, man, I just wish God would quit picking on me. It's too late. Once you got born again and truly got born again, you sealed, you can't run away from you. So you're going to be convicted your whole life. Isn't that wonderful? I love it. You know, I mean, that's the thing about it. But once you know that you're born again, then you're like, okay, what is that? I know I'm born again, but now you need to know that you're born again of an incorruptible seed, that you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Word of God tells you that you're brand new. It tells you, guess what? This is the beginning, not the end. This is the beginning. Amen? You are first fruits. You were something that took place, something that's happened. You're now like, oh man, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Because you begin to understand the Word of God is where life is. That's why when you get born again, it draws you to the Word of God. You say, man, not I don't want to be born again, but I want to know what it to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen? And why is that so important? Because when you know that God loves you and you get truly born again and you become His child, it's like, ah, I want to get to know Him so much better. There's so much freedom, so much joy. You know, and if that's not what happened when you got saved, then we're going to invite you to get saved. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, one of the things that, when I say that, it's not that you have to have an emotional thing or anything, but what it does do is that when you're born again and you're truly born again, life changes. Light has come. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light or into the kingdom of His dear Son. There ought to be a difference. Yeah. Amen? There ought to be a joy. There ought to be, people ought to be able to see, hey, something's different about you. Yes. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Because why? God did it. Amen? Now, the third thing about faith is this, is that, and this is the wonderful thing about it, is the minute that you did this, it already is producing this, but I always like to say this that way. First of all, it convicted you of sin. You knew you needed a Savior. Second of all, you needed to know, wow, once I do this, I'm a new creature. Okay, now what is this new life? How do I do this? I've been regenerated. I've been born again. I have this new life of God in me. Now what do I do? Well, the wonderful thing about the Word of God is it produces the number one thing that you need in life at the very beginning, and that is faith. Without faith, you can't please Him. Without faith, you can't walk. Without faith, you can't even talk. Amen. And we look at this, and we I know we break it down, we analyze it, but it simply means this. You actually believe. You're a believer. You actually changed from in the darkness to light, and now you're like, I like this. I like the peace that I have that passes all understanding. I like this light. I like this relationship, even though I don't know too much about it, don't know anything. But thank God His word will produce faith, because Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? And I really wish, man, I wish when I got born again when I was a child, I really wish they'd have taught me these things. I really do, instead of just saying, okay, you're saved. We can see you're born again. You're saved. Praise God. Now just figure it out. They didn't tell me I was a new creature. They didn't tell me how to get faith or that I needed faith. They just said, you just got to make it. You know, because they still preached, you know, and all the stuff. And I was like, what are we looking for here? What do we got? You know, how do I get this? How do I get confidence? How do I live this new life in a world of compromise? How do I live this new life in a world that's ugly? How do I live this life in a world that everybody else is just doing their own things? And that when I do something like they're doing it, my spirit convicts me. When I talk like they talk, and they go to the same church I go to, but I talk like they talk, how come I feel so bad? And that bugged me. I didn't know I thought God just picked on me all the time. I thought, man, look at my brother and my sister. They got saved. The same. Look at all these other kids got saved. You know, I got saved on Monday. Everybody else got saved on Tuesday. One day should not make a difference. Right? And they said the same thing I did, but why am I feeling this way? And it looks like they're not feeling, they got no remorse at all. They can still lie. They can cheat. You know, they still cursing. They're still talking. I mean, it's like they're just going on with life. Amen. And I'm like, what the heck? And so, you know, it made it difficult because I truly got born again. Okay, that was the difference. I truly listened and did what I did. But the problem was, is that I didn't have any confidence. And the Bible says, this is the confidence that you'll have in Him. You know, if you ask anything according to His will or His word, He hears you. And if you know that He hears you, then you know that you have. I didn't have any, nobody told me those things. Nobody showed me anything. Nobody said, hey, guess what? You are now on the greatest adventure of your life. It was like, okay, let's check it off. You're good. Let's put you over here. I still go after these. And that's why I knew when I walked through that, because I just love God, so I was always at church. But the thing about it is, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, when that happened and everything changed, and I began to hunger after the Word, even though I'd read through the whole Bible when I was in high school. I took Bible as literature as a class. They had that as a class in my high school. You could do that as a separate thing for English. I didn't have to have that. I didn't have to do it. I didn't even have to go my senior year because I had enough credits to graduate my junior year, but I was having too much fun, so I went from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. So I went 2 hours for my whole senior year because I just had fun. And so I took different classes and so I took a lot of things. And so we went through the read through, and I loved it. I enjoyed it. You know, I just enjoyed doing this. I didn't know I was called at the time, or I didn't know anything about that. But I'd read things and I'd be like, man, how come they never told me any of this stuff? And then I'd think, well, that's a great story. That's a great story because it was just the Bible. It was just the Bible. It was just a book. It was a great book. I thought, hey, this is a good thing. It's a good thing. I mean, I believe John 3:16. That's how I got born again. But I just thought, you know, hey, everything else is just, you know, it's just a cool story about all this stuff, you know. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible stopped being the Bible, and it became the Word of God to me. And that's what has to happen now. That's why when you hear scriptures and when you find out what God says, that changes everything. What did God say about the situation? Because the Word of God has this power to produce what you need in every area of your life. But you got to believe that. Amen? Because how do you know that if you're walking around and you're being convicted all the time? I mean, I was a good teenager, so I was always sinning, messing up, doing stupid things. You know, I was. My head, you know. I mean, it was tough because my youth pastor, the youth guy, youth leader, he wasn't a bad youth leader in my church, was my football coach. So Monday through Friday, he cussed me out every day. And then on Sunday, he's trying to teach me how to do the Word of God. That's tough. it was hard. It was hard to shift. It was just really hard to shift. You know, he have his Bible and he said, now, let's read this. And I'm thinking, oh, whoa, time out here. You know, 2 days ago, you were mad at me. So, you know, that was a challenge. And, you know, you're looking at this going, wow, how does this do this? And so you don't walk with any power. And you've heard me say this, you're on a roller coaster. It seems like a lot of Christians are on a roller coaster. They're up and down, they're up and down, they're all around. You know, they're like on the mountaintop, but then they're on the valley. And most people are in the valley. Instead of going up and down, I guess they're doing like this in the valley, you know. You know, and they're just being messed around with and done. But one of the things that I found out about the Word of God that really changed me is because I lived in condemnation and guilt because I didn't know that the Word of God had the power to cleanse me. It had the power to forgive me. It had the power to get me so that I didn't have to sin. I didn't have to yield. I didn't have to allow my mouth to do this. I didn't have to allow, you know, things to be said. Amen? I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to allow corrupt communication to proceed out of my mouth. I didn't have to do this. I had the power to wash me. And when I found out 1 John 1:9, oh, that was like one of the most glorious scriptures I ever heard. He said, what does 1 John 1:9 say? It says, if you'll confess your sins, you don't say, God, I got a problem. God, you know. I'm just coming to you. You know. You know what it is. I'm just letting you know. We're good, right? You didn't do anything. You didn't confess anything. You got to say, God, hey, I lied. Hey, God, I acted a fool. God, I'm confessing this. I'm cleansing. I'm renouncing this. I'm taking authority. I want to get this out in the open so the devil can't use it against me ever again. And when I found out that 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Woo! Changed my life. Amen. Now, if you're raised Pentecostal, then you always repented every Friday, Saturday night, because if you had to go to church and somebody was going to be used by the gifts of the Spirit and know something about you, or if prophet so-and-so was going to show up, bless God, they were going to tell on you. So you repented to God. You said, if I repent, you couldn't bring anything to their remembrance. You're not going to bring anything. I repent. I truly repent. So you can't come again. So that's all under the blood. And then you get clean and then you go sinning Monday through Friday again, but then you repent. If you know that, You know, but when you get a hold of the Word of God, why is that so important? Because the Word of God has the answer when guilt is coming. The Word of God has it when sickness is coming. The Word of God has it when poverty shows up. The Word of God has it when you need a decision. The Word of God, it has answers. It has scriptures that'll bring life to you, that if you'll take them and say, God, this is what you said, I want you to do it. Amen? Amen? I want you to do this. I know that he commended them to the Word. He said, I like what the Message Bible says. He goes, I'm turning you over to God. And that's what Paul says. Our marvelous God, whose gracious word can make you into what he wants you to be. And how, you know, when you believe what the Bible says, then you'll know like who you are in Christ. I know that with Laughter, Love, and Lattes, they always go through the in him scriptures. And they have different scriptures, different week. Here's the scriptures. Here's what it is. And so it's like, how does this do this? How does this? And when you look at it, you see, well, this is how this is going to make me. Or this is what it is. It's the word. This is who I am in Christ. This is what I have. This is what I can be. Amen? Because you notice here, and I love this. Not only did he say, I'm going to commend you to the word of his grace, but look at that little phrase there in verse 32, he says, to build you up. Man, when you're strong, hallelujah, you'll do great exploits. You know, Daniel said that, and I think Daniel 10:32 says, my people who do know me, they're going to be strong and do great exploits, okay? The thing about this is that it's going to build you up, which means you're going to be able to stand strong. There's a scripture in Proverbs says that if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And yet God wants us to be building us up. He wants us to be edified. He wants us to be built up so that, Lord, that we can withstand all the enemies, what the lies of the enemy, all things that are coming. He also said in 2 Corinthians there, chapter 10, or maybe 1 Corinthians 10, but about verse 13, he says, there's no temptation that's coming to you, but such is common to man that you're not able, or God's not able to enable you to either go through it and win, or he's going to remove you from it. Amen? And so thank God for that he's going to do that. But we've got the Word of God has this great power to build us up. But not only the Word of God tells us how to build ourselves up on our faith, but also tells us how we're to pray, how we're to pray in other tongues. Big wars get fought over things that people don't know about. Because like I said before, is that everybody lines up their experiences with the Word of God, trying to get the Word of God to tell them that they're okay. Amen? And aren't you glad that the Word of God is the right way to go? Because it is. I mean, not only does it give us faith, not only does it turn these things here, not only is it going to build us up, not only is it going to do anything, but it's also where we get all of our wisdom. Because his thoughts are not our thoughts, and our thoughts are not his thoughts, but thank God he's made his thoughts and ways made known unto us, that we can, you know, renew our minds on the Word of God so that we can know what the perfect will of God is. And aren't you glad that you've got the Spirit of truth on the inside of you? I mean, that's probably been the greatest thing in the last 5 years, ever since COVID and all this stuff, and ever since, you know, we've been lied to through our media, through all of our, streaming things, everything. Who's telling the truth? Who's really real? Who's doing it? Because everybody's, you know, they're filtering things. They got AI now. You don't know if that's a real thing or if it's not. You see all of these reels. You see all of these, videos, all these things. And everybody's manipulating. And you got to go, well, is that a real? Is that not? You know, is this real? Is this not? Oh, people are saying it. And the whole thing of everybody doing this, and the reason the devil is he wants you to not believe anything. Did you know that? He wants you not to believe that, oh, look at this. There's a revival going. Oh, no, I don't believe that. I don't think they're doing it. Look at this. Look at how crazy. Oh, I believe how crazy it is. Look at how terrible these things are. And that's not true, and that's true. Amen? Or there's half-truths in each one. But aren't you glad, glory to God, that you're not deceived? Aren't you glad that you've got the Spirit of truth in you? Yes. That you do know. Yes. And people will come at you like, what makes you, how come you're so positive? What are you? I got the Spirit of God. I'm born again. I know God. I know the Spirit of God. I know what's God and what's not God. Sorry. People get real mad when you say that. Who do you think you are? I'm a child of God. God said that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. God said I have an anointing. I have an anointing that he gave me. I have an unction from the Holy One and I know all things. I've got his word. If it don't line up with the Word of God, I don't need an unction. I don't need an anointing. I don't need anything. I got God's word on it. What you're doing is wrong. The word says it's wrong. Amen. Right? And so we've been deceived. We've been deceived to believe natural things over spiritual things. And see, what my heart is to bring us all back and to bring us into this, is to bring us into what God says is so. Bring us into that word's going to bring power. You're going to bring wisdom. It's going to be strength. It brings, here's the thing too. This is another thing I wrote down. It's going to bring assurance of eternal life. That was a shocking thing that I grew up with a bunch of folks and different things. We all grew up in a rural town in California and all went to different churches, but going to churches, all of us went to church. And, but then as later on in life, you get in, come back in contact, you see things and you go, how in the heck did that person get that far off? How did they get that dark? How'd they get that cynical and that evil? What happened to them? Well, and when you talk to them or if you have communication with them, it's, well, I used to think this or I used to, and it's like, none of the, because they've been swayed, by everything around them. All of a sudden now, this is the authority of what they've learned. Amen? And I remember, I have a story that's my best story. It's one of my best stories. But it's a guy whose wife and child, our daughter, actually, she wasn't a child, but she's a teenager. But they came and they got born again in our church and they were coming. And he was irate. He was just really just, and then, the wife says, hey, I think my husband's going to come. And he's pretty crazy. He's just, he's not saved. He's just, and he's going to say a bunch of rambling things because, in his head, he's just, I said, well, let him come. I said, it's all good. So he did an appointment with me, and he comes in, and the first thing he tells me is that he's so many years old in dog years. And I thought, okay, here we go. So, if you have 7 years. So every 1 year is 7 years for the dog, right? That's kind of, so he's in his 40s, so that tells you he's 280 years old. And so this is cool. I thought, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. All right. This is a good story. This is going to be a good, and the funny thing, it's true. And so, and then he begins to say all these things, and he starts talking about all of the books that he read, all of these guys, that we would know that were, scientists and all these things that he's sharing and all the statistics and just all of the evolution, all kinds of crazy things. And then he kept saying, you're just brainwashed. You're just brainwashed. You're brainwashing my wife. You're brainwashing my daughter. You're just brainwashing everybody. And I said, hey, listen. I said, listen, you got to calm down because you're about to have a heart attack. I said, relax. Because he was just going off. And I was like, calm down. And I said, first of all, you're right. I am brainwashed. But I've decided to brainwash me with this Bible, this book right here. Yeah, this is where my brain is right here. You want to see what I think? You want to think what I say? Everything is connected to here. I decided to do this and be brainwashed through the Word of God. You decided to be brainwashed through this person, that person, this person, this person, all these books that you've read. And that's what you're brainwashed with. And your life's a mess. It's a mess. Your wife and your daughter, they want to leave you. They don't want to be around you. They can't even stand you. Amen. Now, see, I talk really nice to you guys. When I was young, I started out at 24, guys. I was pretty hardcore punk at the time. I mean, thank God I had to learn a lot of things. I'm a lot more calm now. I'm a lot more nicer now. I'm a lot more dignified. I say, okay, let's communicate. But at that time, it's like, I ain't got time to talk to you. You're an idiot. I didn't tell him that. But I'm like, hey. So, you're going to come at me. I'm going to come back at you. And I said, listen, that's the thing different. And what you want, you're all, I said, but we've got peace. I said, now let's look at this. Your wife has gotten saved. Your daughter, who was rebellious as all get out, got born again. And now she's going to school. She's got things happening. She's as sweet as can be. And you're upset because she's not rebellious. She's not running around doing all kind of ungodly things. And your wife is full of joy and life, and you're mad. I said, we got a problem here. He said, and the problem is not them, it's you. I said, that's the problem, is that you want us to be as upset as you are. I said, my life is full of peace, full of joy, and I'm not trying to force anything, but I am trying to tell you is that that's the difference, is that I decided this was truth. You decided history was truth. You decided science was truth. You decided all these books were truth. And I decided this overrode everything. And it's simple. Because I simply believe this. Amen? And that's the thing about it. And that's what I want to get across to you. That's this whole teaching tonight. The whole thing is that if we'll just get back to the simplicity of the gospel, get back to the assurance factor. Because guess what? Once you know the assurance factor, that you know you're saved, you know that you're on the right side, then guess what else comes? The number one thing that comes is this wonderful world, this wonderful word called, and world, but this number wonderful word called peace. Yes. Ah, I'm not striving anymore. I got peace. I got God's peace. Jesus said, I'm going to give you my peace. I got his peace. And you know what? People will be really mad when you do this. Because they're like, how come I can't get to him? How come he's not getting mad anymore? How come he's not frustrated? And the one that you really mess up is the devil. He's just like, oh my gosh, we're in trouble. Because the word of God has the power to bring the peace that passes all understanding, that guards our hearts and minds. And you have an assurance. And how many of you know that's what people needed? Amen? You know, the one thing, and I'm not bragging on me, but I'm bragging on Jesus because of what things I've gone through and things that I've had to do. So then when COVID hit, that's why I could stand up here and say, hey, listen, I was born for this day. I was born for adversity. I was born for this day. I've already fought with the beasts of Ephesus, like Paul said. I've already fought with everybody else trying to kill my life. I've been surrounded. I've all these things and everything, and I've already seen all the junk and everything. But hey, you can't. I've seen whole cities collapse, and I've seen all that. I was there in Pittsburgh when the whole city collapsed. All the steel mills left and went to other countries, and it completely went collapsed. I mean, everything. There was nothing. They had to rebuild where they had bars on the high schools, and you couldn't get in. And the mayor basically said, "We can't do anything," and he turned to the churches. Thank God he did. And he said, hey, can you guys do anything? We can't do anything. They shut down all the sports. I mean, for city of 3 million people with not having any kind of sports, because people were killing. It was in the middle of the 80s, and it was the Bloods and the Crips, and they were killing them. And I was right smack dab in the middle of the Bloods and the Crips, one here, one there, and I was having revival. And I was having services, and I was going down into their places, and I was going down into the projects, and I got all these kids together and had all the blues here and all the reds over here, and said, if you shoot somebody, we're canceling, and your mamas are going to get you. Because these are your little brothers. And we've got a whole thing. So we took 150 kids into a gymnasium, and we had a great basketball league. In fact, the police said, listen, we're going to put a police station in that thing right now. I said, okay. So they actually put a station there, housing police, because they said, this is crazy. You're crazy. I said, I know it. When I called and said, we're going to have a tent meeting right in the middle of St. Clair Village, right down the middle of all these guys. So when all this started happening, and we had all this, I said, oh, I've been here before. When somebody says, you can't do this, or you're not going to do this, or you're going to have this craziness, you're going to have all this stuff. It's like, no, we're going to have victory. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I mean, sometimes I miss that, but then when I realize and think about it, I don't miss none of that. I love our church. It's nice. We like a little calm, okay? Hallelujah. But I share all that with you, and I'm not bragging on me. It's just that I didn't know anything back then, so that's why I could do everything. I was as fearless and crazy. It was even more crazy back then. I'm a lot more calmer now, so that's good. But I was just reaching people. I wanted to reach lives. I was like, no, we're not going to, you can't try to shut us down. This is what God says. Amen? And when you see the Word of God, it brings a peace in your heart that changes everything. Amen? And when you get that peace, guess what else follows peace? Joy. Amen. Someone says, well, I thought peace followed joy. No, no. Peace first, then joy. Because when you get peace with yourself, then all of a sudden you realize, you know, that's actually kind of funny what they're trying to do. That's actually funny what the devil's saying. The devil said, what? You've heard that cliche and that whole big thing. But it's like all of a sudden you begin to see, ah, wait a minute. All right. Huh. You know, I like when I talk about joy. Jeremiah 15:16 said this. I wrote this scripture down. Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. He said, for then I called. I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Isn't that amazing? You found his word. You ate it. And praise God, it was joy and rejoicing to you. Amen. Yeah. Well, and then, of course, over in the New Testament, Romans chapter 14, what, verse 17? The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's why I told you peace comes before joy. See, because people try to fake it. They try to do things. But how many of you know in the body of Christ, we don't have to fake it? We don't have to fake joy. We don't have to fake peace. You know, I mean, there was a really lousy saying, so why don't you fake it till you make it? But you don't have to do that because you've already made it. Okay? Because of what? The Word of God. Because we've got God's Word on the subject. And when you get God's Word on the subject, it changes everything. Because then if you need patience or comfort or hope or any of these other things, praise God, God's there. And remember what I said too? I said, aren't you glad that you know the truth? It's because the Word of God will protect you. It'll protect you from error. It'll protect you from sin. It'll protect you from things. Amen? It'll just protect you when you think, I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon. I'm not going to jump on that. You know, you'll notice at Harvest Bible Church, we don't go on tangents. We don't get on different things or run and do and different things. We talk about things. We stay the course. And we're always going to stay. That's why God's always done good things. That doesn't mean we're not passionate about things. You know, passionate about what's going on. Oh, did you know this is happening? That's happening. I said, I know. Praise God. Well, aren't you going to jump on that? No, I'm not going to jump on it. I'm going to watch it. And if God tells me to get involved, if God tells me to do something, then I will. But I'm not going to get out there if I don't feel like I'm supposed to get out there. Amen. I'm not going to get and say, hey, this is what we need to do. This is how we need to do it. You know, they're doing it like this. We should do it like that. It's like, nah, we're going to do what God called us to do. Amen. I mean, you have to. Because you know what? We are Harvest Bible Church. We are the body of Christ here. We are what God's called us to be. And God needs all of us. He needs everybody. He needs all of us doing what God, the part that God wants us to do. You know, and, you know, I know that within my heart, I just said, I'm going to let the Word of God be that. God, you direct me. You show me. He said, we're going to miss out. Well, if I miss out, praise God, somebody else will get it. That'll be good. Amen. I mean, that'll be the joy of it. If I miss out, that's okay. I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Amen. And then we'll, since I've been teaching, we're just going to go ahead and we'll end on this one. We don't need to do the other 4 or 5 pages that I got in my thing here. So. Somebody asked me one time, they said, how come you go up with so much notes? I said, well, that's because I'm still scared that I might not have enough to talk about. I never finish, ever. But that's okay. I just, you know, I want to make sure that I've got enough food for everybody. I don't like running out of food. That's the one thing I don't. I want to have enough food to finish. I want to have leftovers. I like leftovers. Amen. You know, because then you can bless other people with those things. But look at here, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse. Actually, is it 1 Timothy chapter 3? I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yep, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I wrote down the wrong. I didn't. I put 1 instead of 2. How about 2 Timothy chapter 3? I read 1 Timothy chapter 3, 16. It ain't the right one. Amen. And actually, we're going to back up to verse 14. He said this, Paul writing to Timothy the second time, he said, continue thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. Amen. Then he says this, and he said, that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, amen, for doctrine, for reproof, amen, for correction, hallelujah, for instructions in righteousness. And then verse 17 is that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, or the King James says, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, amen. I love the Word of God because it's in the Scriptures. It is. It's profitable for our teaching, our doctrine. It's for what holds us together. It's also profitable for reproof and correction, which means God says, hey, straighten up. The Word of God is supposed to be that. It's supposed to. I love that God loves me enough to tell me when I'm wrong. Amen. And I love that He put His Spirit. Because when I get convicted, it doesn't beat me up. Actually says, Man, I am saved. I was having, I didn't know about that, but God's, I mean, I'm convicted because what I know what I did was wrong, and my spirit is convicting me. Hallelujah. And thank God, the Word of God said, well, here's how you correct that. Here's how you correct that. But notice this little phrase here, for instruction in righteousness. Isn't that amazing? You know, the Word of God and the Apostle Paul talked about righteousness so much. When instruction in righteousness means, yeah, it's going to, the Word of God will correct us, it'll reprove us, but you don't stay beaten up. Thank God. It's also going to instruct you how to get back in right standing with God, back in favor, back in blessing, back in fellowship, back in joy, back in peace. Amen? So you don't walk it. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I messed up. Yeah, I missed it. Hey, and I asked God to forgive me. And if you were there, I ask you to forgive me. But I'm going to go on with God. I'm not going to let what happened stop me from going forward in what God says to do. Amen? Because I'm not going to be incomplete. See, we have a lot of Christians who are complete but think they're incomplete because they don't know what they have in God. Amen? I mean, if we understand what the Word of God says, and if we put the Word of God in our heart, the Bible says, I'm going to put the Word of God, I'm going to put your Word in my heart. Hallelujah. You know, I think the King James says, your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I try to make it, change it, but then when my brain says, why don't you just quote the scripture? just say what it says in the King James Version. And because, you know, why do we want to hide it in our heart? Because it is the life that we all need. What does the scripture say? What does God say? Because God says his word and the scriptures are the same. Amen? That's what's going to happen. Hallelujah. That's the joy of it. Praise God. He told us to do that. He said, if we'll do this, there'll be things that'll take place in our lives and we'll be able to honor this and then God can make good the word in our life. And then you'll know if somebody's sharing with you. Somebody says, you know what? Hey, I'm thinking this, or you know, I just feel like I need to, you know, share this with you. I want to pray. I've been praying about this, or do it. Or God says, hey, I need you to pray. I need to, you pray in the Word of God. I really believe that's where God has having us as the body of Christ, is that we've got to get specific on a lot of things, but we got to trust His Word on it. Yes. We got to trust if God speaks to us, we got to be sensitive enough to do it. Yes. Amen. Yes. You know, yielding is a big deal. I'm thinking I got a whole nother sermon I'm putting together about yielding. And sensitive. We were talking about some things. I said, that's one of my things that I'm just really, really stirring some things up on the inside of me about making sure I'm yielding, making sure I'm listening. Yes, I want to listen. I want to make sure, you know, and I am listening. I'm just not acting like on it as fast as I should. Amen? Yeah. And believe it or not, all of us are listening and God is speaking. We're just not yielding to it to hear more and then not acting on it like we should quick enough. Because we're afraid. Well, now, I don't know. But what is people going to think? Or what's going to... You know what? We just need to step out, jump out, and then let people think. And then we'll say, what did I do? What was I doing? Say, you were just acting. You're doing what God said to do. Everything's turned out good. Amen? Because aren't you glad that this word is so powerful? It's miraculous. It's supernatural. And God gave it to you and I. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor you. Lord, I love you and I praise you. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for these wonderful people. They're so precious, Father, to come to hear the Word of God, to listen, and they just draw it out of you too, Lord. They're so, so wonderful. Your Word is so good. Father, thank you for those that are watching, those that hung in with us through this whole teaching. And Lord, our heart's desires that they might know the truth. The Apostle John said this in 1 John chapter 3. He said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. So, Lord, I just thank you for that. There's no greater joy than to know that we're walking in your truth and allowing your truth to set us free, because the truth shall set us free. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Thank you for it, Father. We honor you for it, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen.